Again, this is Jim Rao. We're going to be talking about witchcraft versus prophecy today. And of course, if you were with us last week, you know that we introduced to you the subject of witchcraft and what God thinks about witchcraft. And this was all brought up in relation to the earthquake down in Haiti. And we know, not looking down our nose self-righteously or thinking that nothing of the sort could happen in America, we know that in Haiti, there's been a lot of witchcraft over the years, that the whole country is in the grip of witchcraft, and so only God knows for sure. We don't know if, you know, God has judged that nation, but just the obvious is that, you know, things are given over to Satan in that nation. Even the people who call themselves Christian are very entrenched in witchcraft, and so we know that God judges those things, and so I'm going to give this teaching today so that if any of us are involved in witchcraft, if anyone here, and a lot of people don't even know when they are involved in witchcraft, they don't understand the implications behind it. They don't understand the warnings that God has for it. And so if you find yourself in that situation, if some of the things that I speak about today or that you hear about, you have never heard before, or maybe you haven't encountered before, and you've not read it in God's Word, just know that this is the Word of God, and that God places these things in His Word not to scare us, not to keep us from having fun or keeping us from getting thrills in our life, but God places these things in His Word to keep us from falling into the traps of the devil and to keep us from being enticed and ensnared into deadly traps that could lead to our death and can lead to witchcraft being established not only in ourselves but be handed down to our children, our grandchildren, to the fourth generation. And so we want to heed God's Word and just believe it when we see it, when we read it. And maybe you don't understand all of it, but if it's in God's Word, we know that it's there for our best interest and for the interest of our family. And so for that reason, that's good enough for us to be obedient to it. And, you know, brothers and sisters, the more obedient you are to God's Word, the more that you will seek Him, the more that He will cover you with His protection. He makes clear many times in this Scripture that He does not hear the prayers of the wicked, that He turns a deaf ear to the prayers of the wicked, and he notices it when we try to walk in righteousness. He notices it when we try to walk in holiness. And if you've been ensnared in witchcraft, I'm just going to throw this out here before we start. If you have been involved in witchcraft and you've never really taken the time to repent of it and ask God to forgive you of it, you need to do that. And if you have been involved in it and you haven't asked God to forgive you, do it and plead the blood of Jesus all over that entryway into your life and just seal it off so that Satan can't use that entryway ever again, so that Satan cannot use that as a pathway to bring death, destruction, and sickness into your life. And if you'll do that for all of the ways that you've been involved in witchcraft, and I'll talk about a few of them here in just a little bit, then you'll seal up those entryways that Satan uses to further exploit and further destroy us as we try to seek the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible there, open it up to Deuteronomy 18, and I read the scripture last week, but I'm going to go on and read some more of it, because in that same scripture God talks about what is a prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Well, that's the witchcraft part of it. Now, I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the aspects of witchcraft. One who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, well, that was a practice that was being done in Bible times and before the people moved into the promised land, before God's children moved into the promised land. The nations of the Canaanites and the pagan peoples that were there were all into idol worship and witchcraft, and they were into baby sacrifice, child sacrifice, bloodletting sacrifice. God talks about back in Leviticus 17, verse 7, and God declares, "And they shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the harlot." There are many ways that people sacrifice blood and offered it up to demon gods, and there are many ways that people still do that, and it's very prevalent in Haiti for people to offer up animals, whether goats or chickens or pigs, offer it up and spread the blood all over themselves and all over the altars of the demons and all over the pagan idols. And so this is a practice that God considers abhorrent, and He considers it abhorrent, especially grievous and especially reprehensible when people obviously sacrifice their own children, because each and every child is very, very special to God. Each and every child is made in God's image, created in God's image, and so when people sacrifice their children, then their blood cries out from the land, and their blood has to be recompensed. It has to be paid back. And Genesis 9:6 says that whoever sheds the blood of man, by him, by the person who sheds it, the recompense, the payment must come. And so we know that because people do shed the blood of innocents, either through abortion or through murder or through slavery or many other ways, that payment has to eventually come for that, and it has to come from the people who shed the blood. And so when you think about that, and all of the different reasons that people give to abort babies, and the reasons that people give primarily have to do with convenience and salvaging reputation and continuation of sexual immorality, and also continuation of a seeking lifestyle of profitability, or a lifestyle of luxury, or a lifestyle of greed and avarice and going after more and more money. And so sometimes babies get in the way of that, unplanned pregnancies, and babies get in the way of all those things. And so it is easy to think that it's an easy way out just to sacrifice those babies. And so that is really, in a way, the new version of passing your son or your daughter through the fire. And so God is going to judge that. And brothers and sisters, when the judgment does come here to America for those things, it's going to be very ugly. It's going to be a payment that I don't know if we're going to be able to bear to pay it. But when you think about the fact that 50 million babies have been sacrificed or passed through the fire. And so that payment has to come. And when it does come, it's going to be a heavy, heavy burden on the generation that it falls onto. Well, in verse 10, one who uses divination, there are many different ways to divine secrets, and divination has to do with divining secrets, and it has to do with trying to foretell or foresee the future. There's palm reading, and there's tea leaves, there's I Ching, there's astrology, there's crystal ball gazing, there's Ouija boards, and on and on and on it goes. And of course, God's answer to all of this is that we consult the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that we have living within us. And if you are a Christian, you have that Spirit of God that will lead you into the truth in all things. You have that Spirit of God that resides within you. And so it isn't necessary for you to consult demonic avenues of foretelling or forthtelling. And so, again, if you have been involved in any of that, in a Ouija board or in a pendulum or a palm reading or calling up the dead or trying to seek wisdom or knowledge about things that you don't know about through means other than through the Holy Spirit, ask God to forgive you of that and repent of it, turn from your ways, turn from your wicked ways, and ask God to forgive you of that. And if you do that, ask God to seal that entryway with the blood of Jesus. Ask God to seal that entryway so the demonic cannot come into your life through that entryway. God gives us the Holy Spirit in verse 13 of chapter 16 of John. That's verse 13, chapter 16 of John. God tells us, Jesus told about the Holy Spirit, and he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you." And verse 15, "All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." And so God has provided us a way that we can know the things that we need to know. He's provided us a way that we don't have to consult the demonic. God has given us the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, which has the mind of God. And so because of that, we're able to have wisdom beyond our human wisdom. We're able to have knowledge beyond our human knowledge. We're able to know and discern spirits beyond what our human discernment would be in those situations. And so God has given us all of the tools we need. And of course, the Holy Spirit, we know, offers gifts of word of knowledge, gifts of word of spirit, gifts of discernment of tongues, and gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, and all of these things. So we have not only the Holy Spirit, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which refines and takes to another level, a higher level, the consultation, you might say, of the Holy Spirit within us, the opportunity that we have to learn from the Holy Spirit. And so God wants us to consult the Holy Spirit for everything, every situation, every decision that you make, every walk in life, every day that you walk. Consult the Holy Spirit. Learn to ask God. Learn to ask the Holy Spirit, what, how, when, where, how can I do this? And as you do that, God will give you wisdom to make the correct decision. He will give you wisdom to stay away from the snares and the pitfalls and the traps of the devil. And he will give you the wisdom to walk in glory and to be side by side with him in every aspect and every avenue of your life, whether it's your finances, maybe it has to do with your job, maybe it has to do with the person you're dating, or maybe somebody that you might want to marry, or ministry opportunities, or whatever it is, any aspect of your life. God gives you that wisdom and knowledge through the Holy Spirit, and by reading his word and in counsel, by the counsel of many, the Lord's plans are established. And so God has laid out the blueprint for us to know everything that we need to know without allowing Satan or giving Satan an opportunity to come into our life by promising us a supernatural wisdom or supernatural knowledge through demonic powers. Well, back to Deuteronomy 18:9. Anyone who practices divination, one who practices witchcraft, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist. And of course we know a medium or a spiritist is one who acts as a mediator between the dead and the living. And God says, do not talk to the dead, do not try to contact the dead. If you are making any contact with spirits of any of your dead relatives or dead ancestors or anybody like that, stop it. Don't do it. Don't make any attempt to contact them. You talk to Jesus, you talk to God, you talk to the Holy Spirit, and do not attempt to talk to any spirits of dead relatives or anything like that. If you do, Satan will use that as an avenue to come into your life and wreak havoc in your life and make you sick and maybe even cause your death. And so stay away from that. And of course, I'm going to include in that anything that looks like casting spells or wizards or witches. And of course, there's great demand out there nowadays for Harry Potter stuff. And I'm just giving you a warning, brothers and sisters, if you have Harry Potter stuff in your household, just get rid of any tapes, get rid of any books, get rid of any CDs or any DVDs that has to do with witchcraft or spell casting or calling up spirits of the dead or trying to talk to the dead or divination. Get rid of any of that stuff. Just clean out your house. Even if it's wrapped up in a children's movie or a children's book and it looks like it's innocent stuff, even if it looks like if it's innocent stuff, if it's has anything to do with spell casting or wizards or witches or any of that kind of stuff. Just get rid of it, clean it out, ask God to forgive you, repent of it, and ask Him to seal that entryway up with the blood of Jesus so that stuff won't get into your family and get into your children. And, of course, Harry Potter's the marketing behind that is a great effort to try to get everybody in America to think that it's harmless, that it has no spiritual impact, and nothing could be farther from the truth. And the same goes for Ouija board and all that stuff. You can buy a Ouija board at, I'm sure, I know Toys R Us carries it, and probably big box stores, retail stores, and just don't buy anything like that that has to do with spell casting or sorcery or calling up spirits of the dead to try to gain knowledge. Just, and if you have a Ouija board in your house, get rid of it. Warn your children to stay away from it. And here is the reason why, is because God wants us to consult Him. He's given us all the tools, the availability of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given us everything that we need to have the knowledge and wisdom that we need to proceed and have truth spoken to us by the Holy Spirit, which knows the mind of God and speaks the mind of God. And Jesus just told us the Holy Spirit takes what is mine and gives to us. And so we know that Jesus takes from the Father, and so the Father gives to Jesus, who gives to the Holy Spirit. And so we know that we're not going to get tricked, we're not going to get deceived, we're not going to get led into a blind alley or down into a snare or fall into a pit. And as we are led by God, God has our best interest at heart, which is to bring us into intimacy and bring us into a place of glory and establish us in our right relationship with God. Well, Deuteronomy 18:14 says, "For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your countrymen you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command them. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.'" And so God says he's going to appoint prophets. He did that in the Old Testament. He appointed men, and of course we know the major prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and then there were many minor prophets, Hosea, Micah, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, Amos, Joel. And so we know that these prophets were appointed by God to speak to the people, to speak truth into their lives. And today, even this day, here 2,000 years after Jesus walked on the earth, we still have prophets. God has appointed prophets. He tells us in Ephesians 4:10, 11, and 12 that he has appointed some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And so we know that God has prophets to guide the church, to guide the body of Christ this day. And so God is stirring up the prophetic this day in a very dramatic way to warn the church, to warn people about what is to come, not only to warn them about the calamity to come, but also the great revival and the harvest to come. And so God has his prophets. And of course, many of you who have been listening to this program and this radio broadcast in the months and years past know that God has spoken to me and given me a prophetic mantle, and I've posted many of those prophetic words on my website. And so you can go there and see what God has spoken through me about what is yet to come here in the days ahead. But God wants the best for his children. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared. And so when God gives a prophetic word, sometimes it may be harsh, sometimes it may be a word given to discipline or rebuke or to bring into alignment. Sometimes it's just a word of exhortation and encouragement. And many, many times that's what prophetic word is a word to exhort and to encourage and strengthen the body of Christ. And in all ways, it is to bring back into alignment, to bring into alignment those who need to walk with the Lord, those who need a more intimate walk with the Lord. And of course, we know that the body of Christ here in America and just about every nation on the earth needs encouragement to do that, to strengthen their walk with the Lord. And so God is placing the prophets out there to encourage and exhort and strengthen and sometimes rebuke and instruct. And so we know that God has our best interests at heart. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I came to give life and to give it to you abundantly, to give you abundant life. And so we know God's will is that we have abundant life. And you know, as we look at the landscape today and all of the things that are happening all around the world, earthquakes and famine and wars and rumors of war, we know that this is all a fulfillment of prophecy, that it is going to happen. But God just wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared so that no matter what happens, whether you're here in America, you're in another country, or you're in your own home or somebody else's home, if calamity strikes, if the building falls down like it did in Haiti, or the earth shifts under your feet like it did in Haiti, God is giving us ample warning, and he's giving us a time to prepare, to keep our lamps lit, to keep the oil in the lamps and keep the wicks trimmed and keep the lamps lit, so that we are ready and able to either be with him in the next instant or to take care of others. If God spares our life, take care of others who are sick or injured or maybe need prayer or need a word from the Lord. And God has our best interests at heart, and ultimately it's all to bring us glory in him and through him, and also to bring him glory, that we could all come to know him, that every single person on this earth could come to know him. Well, I'm going to close with a scripture here in Revelation 19 and verse 10, and the angel of the Lord is talking to John, and John says, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, do not do that, for I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so we know from that that Jesus Christ's testimony is the spirit of prophecy. And really, what is Jesus Christ's testimony? His testimony is that he came at the request of the Father. He came to serve the Father. He came and he gave his life. He laid his life down at the request of the Father, because there was no other way that we could be reconciled back to Jesus. And Jesus' testimony is the spirit of prophecy, and it is prophecy in this way, that every single thing that Jesus spoke will come to pass. If it has not already come to pass, it is truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. And so everything that Jesus spoke has either come to pass or will come to pass, and his testimony is the spirit of prophecy. His testimony is the spirit of hope. It is words of encouragement and words of hope, words of restoration, words of reconciliation. And so, brother and sister, if you accept Jesus, if you take Jesus into your heart and you accept him, then you have the spirit of prophecy, and God wants you to speak truth, and not only into your family, but he wants you to use you to go to the nations to speak the spirit of truth, to speak the word of truth to all those who don't know him and all those who are lost. Well, we're going to continue talking a little bit about the prophetic next week, and how God plans to use it, how he is using it, and what it means for you here in this day. So join us next week. Thank you for joining us this week. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you then.